Hi listeners, this is Stella from Auroville Radio. I'm talking to Priya Sundavalli. She's having an exhibition in Pitanga. She's doing ceramics. And she has been in Auroville for almost 10 years now.
That's right.
And yeah, good morning.
Good morning, Stella.
Can you tell us a little bit about your exhibition?
Well, this is my first solo exhibition. And I wanted to have it particularly in Pitanga because it's such an intimate space. Everything happened very serendipitously, and so here I am.
What is your exhibition about?
This has a collection of the work I've been doing for the last 16 months. In 2010, I had been for 4 months to the U.S., where my pottery teachers are. So I went and learnt with them. I took a sabbatical from Auroville. And when I came back, I decided to go fully into ceramics because it's been a hobby for so many years and I felt it was time I needed to go into my own creative space. And so this is all the work from the last one year and 4 months.
So that was your main occupation, making those objects?
Yes, it was occupying most of my time, but I'm also a teacher at the schools here, mm-hmm. teaching science.
Your objects look very fragile. Does it have a meaning?
For me, every time I sort of handle clay, it's like a spiritual experience. I mean, it sounds goofy, but I have a great deal of respect for clay. It's one of my teachers is Native American, and for him, he always speaks about the Earth Mother. So there's always reverence when I handle clay, and it's a meditative act almost. And when I do it, I feel a sense of lightness, as if things are whispering. And that's the feeling I think gets transferred to the clay. Nobody told me that I could make thinware. Actually, I was told that it wouldn't work and things wouldn't work. But I just went with it. I just said, whatever happens in the kiln, I will take the risk. If there are accidents, I will take the chance. And they just responded, and they are fine. And I feel this is the kind of direction I also enjoy.
So. Do a lot of objects break?
No, they crack. And when they crack, I accept it as how they want to be. Sometimes I grind it down or I repair it and go with it. So they're almost like children or babies who have their own identity. And I just let them, imperfections and all, they have their place, I feel. So
do you have a connection to each object?
I have a connection while I'm making them, but now at the end of the exhibition, after I put everything, I suddenly felt as if they are not mine, actually. I don't have a relationship with them, in the sense they don't belong to me. It's kind of very weird. And everything, I'm ready to send them all away wherever they want to go. And I'm so happy that they are just—they have been seen even once. So I was just telling somebody, if something happens to them and they disappear, for example, it doesn't matter. They have had their presence once. So that's how I see things.
How many different objects do you have in this exhibition?
Well, there are about 300 plus.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was making my catalog yesterday and so I've crossed 300. It's kind of silly. And even now I'm working on something at home. It's almost as if it's telling me I need to be there with a group. So finish me and hang me and stuff like that. So I'm working on it now. And probably it'll be up tomorrow. So, yeah.
I've seen that each object is different and somehow special. How do you get inspired, always making new things?
For me, it's not really thinking and planning. I have tried it sometimes where I want a particular form, but I just go to the studio, I just see what's coming that day. Sometimes I might create 5 pieces, and every piece I start, I always finish on the same day. It's just a style of working, I guess. And now I'm coming to realize that there are millions of pathways you can take in making, in working with clay. And I'm just following one which works for me. So there are people who do meticulous work and beautiful work, which take them days. And so depending on what's in my hand and what comes, it happens. So each one is an individual. And also sometimes there is sometimes too much energy in me. So depending on the mood that is there on the day or the atmosphere. So sometimes the works are very rough and have a different energy. And sometimes they are so delicate and so soft. So I just allow myself to just do what's coming. Yeah. And one thing that figures sort of big in me, big for me, is Aboriginal ancestors. I sort of feel I'm from Tamil Nadu, and long time ago, South India was connected to Australia. So in my own mind, I believe that I have some connection to Australian Aborigines. And often I hear their songs, or I like to be in that space and be connected. So many of my works also have a lot of pointillism, dot work, and sort of beings or spirits like that. So I never know what comes, but there are so many influences like that which play on different days. Yeah.
Maybe you can explain to our listeners how your objects look like and what different types of objects you have.
Well, I hardly do much work on the wheel. Most of my work is pinching and pounding and pressing. So it's basically hand-building techniques. This is something I learned from my teacher in New Mexico. He's a Jicarí Apache Indian, and he learned the Pueblo technique of making cookware. So he always works on molds, and he presses the clay into very thin objects and sort of shaves it out and so on. So that's primarily the technique that I use. I seem to favor shallow, wide bowls more than closed forms, because somehow shallow and wide reminds me of the sky, upside down or something, and I love, I'm fascinated by the sky and the stars, as many people are, and these forms allow so much of play. They sort of open to all kinds of things. They invite that. So I do shallow forms. I also like working in miniature, because I think some of the most precious things come in very small things, and you see a lot of detail. So you see these kinds of forms. It's very small detailed work as well as wide open things.
Where'd you get the clay from?
Oh, I'm really lucky to be in Orville, because it's a great community. And the potters also are extremely open. And I was lucky to get space in Dana, where there are three potteries already in existence. Michelle from Flame, he's been supporting me right from the beginning. Clay was a hobby when I came. So he gave me space and clay, and I could use his resources. And when I came back from the U.S. after my sabbatical, Kratu had a studio space, which he was not using. So I was really lucky to have that space where I store my things. So both Kratu and Michelle have been very helpful. And this is the time I'm sort of getting more seriously into clay, and things are coming together. But it's a very supportive community of potters. We buy clay together, we share resources, and so on. Yeah.
And regarding the whole community, do you have the impression that Orville is open for your work and appreciating it?
Well, actually, Orville is always open. I mean, I don't mind if my work is not appreciated, because it's not my work. These are things, no? I mean, these are creatures, whatever. So some may be liked, some may not be liked, and it doesn't matter. But Auroville has been very open. I mean, the feedback I've received so far, not just from Aurovillians, even the people who are working here at Pitanga and my gardener, for example, they've been touched and they share that with me. And for me, I just feel blessed. Yeah. The one thing that's important for me is, as I told you, I like this philosophy where nothing is a defect, and accidents which happen are always seen as part of what's supposed to happen. So this one technique I really want to learn and I'm trying to work towards is there's the Japanese technique of mending ceramics. It's called kintsugi, and they use lacquer and gold dust. So in some of my pieces which have cracked open, I try to experiment in my own way, but this is something I would like to learn. And in Pondicherry, there is a fantastic American artist. Her name is Deborah Smith. And Deborah Smith is somebody I would like to learn from because she works in many ages and she's fantastic with, I've heard, repairing ceramics too.
So do you also go to Pondicherry for your work?
Just in the last, in January, there was a workshop by an American potter who came and taught us techniques of Anagama firing, which is a kiln which is fired for 72 hours. So this is the first time I've been in Pondicherry at the Golden Bridge Pottery Studio, and potters from all over India came. So it was a different sense, and it was 90% were women. It was quite amazing that there were so many women potters around, nice and friendly. So I've just started to go to Pondicherry. If people want to see some objects at Pitanga, it's a beautiful place and it's a lovely atmosphere in Pitanga. They can always come by, and it's open until March 24th.
March 24th?
Yeah, it's a Saturday.
And what time?
8 o'clock to 12:30, and again from 2:30 to 6 are the hours.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stella. Thank you.